Good morning. Today is Monday, August the 9th. Joining us this morning, it's him, Chris Hartley from the Humboldt County Office of Education and Eucalyptus Hedge.
What do you mean, eucalyptus? First of all, good morning and happy Monday to you. We'll tackle the eucalyptus comment here in a little bit.
Good.
Are you referring to the patch of trees we have behind the HCOE facility?
Arcade has its community forest.
And we have the eucalyptus.
You have your eucalyptus grove.
And they do a great job keeping our cars in pristine shape, our fleet cars
but
back
the
there.
The smell.
Well, yeah.
The smell is cool.
That's true.
Got to admit that one.
It does smell good.
All right. Are you ready for our Ever Wonder Why here? Why is a person who's very angry said to be seeing red?
Said to being seeing red if they're very angry.
Yes.
First thought I went was with something with bulls are attracted to the color red and they attack. I don't think that's going to be it, though.
Partial credit.
Oh, partial credit. Well, let's hear the rest.
Extreme anger can really make a person see red. Under certain conditions, a state of rage can cause the eyes to become suffused with blood, causing the person to see things through a reddish haze.
Oof.
Okay.
I think you got to be pretty upset.
I would suspect.
Okay, let's get to the bull part.
However, this expression most likely comes from a comparison to the anger a bull shows when the matador shakes a red cape in front of it.
I'm going to take... You only give
You're
me partial
take full,
credit.
Huh?
I'm going with at least.
Okay.
I'm
You're
going
90?
With at least a B plus.
Yeah. Okay. 9 out of 10. Well, it is the 9th, I suppose. Okay.
I wonder why that actually works for bulls. What's the real science behind that? I'm going to have to check that out.
I don't know. You know, dogs don't have the rods that allow color.
They don't see color, right?
Yeah. Or cats do.
Yeah.
I wonder if bulls.
Huh. I don't know.
Perhaps our crack research team sometime will be able to determine.
Have to Google that.
Yeah, and see why if bulls can actually see red or if it's just movement.
What they're doing to them.
That they see, yeah.
All right, we'll wait for the answer.
So are you seeing green yet?
Am I seeing
Has the budget been confirmed?
Green, I am seeing green.
Funded down?
Green for the start of school means go. And yes, we are. The budgets are looking pretty darn strong for schools, which is awesome.
1 year? Multiple years? How are you looking at it?
It's not... There's some of the funds are spread over up to 3 years, and that is a combination of some of the federal dollars that we're seeing. It's a spending plan from 1 to 3 years, so it depends. I guess the answer is it depends. We're really having good conversations around how do you use one-time funds the best, meaning it is a yearly, this is for the year, here's your allocation. And talking, you know, with our districts and folks about what's the best spending protocol around the use of those kinds of funds versus ongoing, making sure we have lots of reminders that you don't want to fund an ongoing expense with a one-time allocation.
One and done.
You know, because that can get you in some trouble down the road and being really thoughtful about that. And our business department under Corey Weber's lead as the assistant super for fiscal has done a really good job holding lots of those sessions. And I was just in a training yesterday where one of the gentlemen, the head of the state on fiscal expertise, was talking about just the very topic and emphasizing that exact point.
You know, as you know, of course, Rex, you know, I kind of go off the rail a lot.
No,
but we talk about, you know, the food distribution centers that used to be here.
Right.
So when we had floods or earthquakes, okay, fine, we might be isolated, but we got the product in the neighborhood.
It got delivered.
With some of the challenges we've had in the last year with so many things and the fact that a lot of this stuff is dry and non-perishable, is there a thought to doing the equivalent of a distribution warehouse and letting it, you know, you guys might have the property, have everybody pool by together, store it up, and then if things go sideways, okay, or maybe you just get the high volume discount. Okay, fine. We'll buy 5 boxcars of 8.5 by 11 white paper, or Ticonderogas, or whatever it might happen to be, keep them there, and then just kind of run it down during the year, or use it really as a pantry in case of, and go from there.
Yeah, it really depends on what it is we're talking about.
Well, sure.
Purchasing, right? So we do that.
I understand computers are not, that's not the way to go with them. Store them 4 or 5 years
they're
and then break
outdated.
Them out new.
Yeah, they're already outdated by that time. You're looking for a new batch. We do a lot of that type of purchasing, and the big fancy word that is utilized is called piggyback. So you might have a district going in to a vendor to buy.
Ever wonder why they use the word piggyback?
Well, it's in your book.
That was one of them, I think.
It's right here. Ever wonder why? Douglas Smith. We got to look for that in that book. But it is, the concept's pretty obvious. You know, you jump on, somebody's making a purchase for item X, and everybody jumps on, and the more volume you have, the better price that you get. So that's a pretty standard operating piece for fiscal services in schools. So we do that. Things like transportation, you know, sharing transportation services where you can, consolidating services. Not everybody needs to have all of their own buses. We can share. We can be smart about how we use our resources.
So why not stagger schedules? You know, in that scenario, okay, school A starts at 8 o'clock. School B starts at 8:30. Okay, now you don't have all the buses out running around all the time at the same time, and then nothing. You just kind of stay, you know, a half hour would give mom and dad a chance also to go from campus A to campus B and not either have a kid standing out in the rain or, you know, not getting to school on time.
Yeah, if you had a district, we have very few districts large enough. I mean, we have a few, no doubt about it. You know, our biggest districts, Eureka, Northern Humboldt, and where they have multiple school sites within a district. You know, I don't believe they stagger their schedules because they're able to make it work, and it's better to try to keep all of your employees on the same schedule. If they're at school 1A versus school B, maybe they have to shift between schools at some point, or maybe they do teach at two different school sites in the course of the day.
Oh, that happens?
It can. Oh. You know, it's possible, particularly if you're working for the same district. But transportation schedules are tricky in our rural community, particularly for those kids that live, like, okay, let's use Oreck as an example. So an Oreck high school student's coming into McKinleyville High, and there's bus transportation that goes out there, and boy, they got to get on that bus pretty darn early.
6:30, 6:45
yes,
kind of thing.
What a day, yeah. Right? And then get home. And then try to figure out, well, can that student play sports after school very easily? How's that going to work? So we have the little challenge of being rural added onto that, you know, that makes things a little bit more complicated, but...
Yeah, sometimes I wonder if the metropolitan schools, even though they have unique challenges, might actually be easier to coordinate and to work with because the geographic concentration.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And public transportation. You know, so the availability of public transportation in a lot of our communities, I don't know that you see a lot of buses running through, let's say, San Francisco. I'm sure they have them, but as far as daily transportation goes, you know, they're going to use a lot of different mediums to make that happen.
Yeah, yeah, that would be
hand gliding
much easier. yeah, the old traffic copter,
coming in,
dropping them in. Yeah, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley from the County Office of Ed. Chris, this time of the year, typically we're starting to see signs of life at school campuses.
Absolutely.
More than just the lawnmower guys.
The maintenance team, getting things prepped. And
yeah. What, from all the districts that you guys work with, what one project over summer has got you most excited to see the kids being able to access in a couple weeks?
Well, that obviously for us is the beginning of the school year for the district. So 31 districts in the county, right? We've got not everybody starting on the same day for sure, but we're all within a couple weeks or so, except actually Fortuna High starting next week on Monday. So they're ready. They have
on
a really
16th?
Early start on the 9th. I believe they're starting on the 9th.
Oh, so later this morning?
That's right, today. Sorry about that.
Wow.
So
really? That's Are they going to get out?
They get out earlier, too. And they've done this for a few years now.
Okay.
Yeah, they've done this for a few years now. And we
could
go into
just look at the county fair and go, you know.
Well, that was always the big one when, you know, about the kids' projects.
But now the fair's
stuff.
Down but far enough.
Yeah, they figured it out.
Yeah,
they figured it out. But that's just the idea that we're going back and that we are going to be able to have in-person instruction, you know, at our school sites. And that
With the goofy stuff that the state is talking about now and the county is talking about now.
State and goofy stuff. What?
I know. It's kind of like a hyphenated phrase. What protocols are you Office of Ed suggesting to the various school districts? Is it still a school board decision? Is it a state education board decision? Is it your recommendation? Is it the county? I mean, who's one?
Yeah.
I hesitate to say who's in charge here, but let's say who's the lead dog.
Well, when it comes down to the health and safety standards, that's California Department of Health, CDPH.
So if they say mask in the classroom,
that's right. That's correct.
Game on, and that's it.
And then we would go to our local public health officer, Dr. Hoffman, and then talk to them about the protocols that they have here locally. That's a health and safety thing. They're fully the folks that we follow the lead on that. And so the decision at the state level right now is the concept of universal masking for a return to school.
But still everybody in their desks, the traditional classroom
alignment. What they removed is the social distancing requirement that we, if you remember, we had that last year, which was 6 feet.
I know, made trading notes and
a little difficult,
really
6 feet
tough.
Apart. You got to get super creative, you know. Yeah. And so that's huge because it allows us to get back to typical classroom size. But that's the bit of controversy throughout the state is the idea of requiring masking for everybody, whether you're vaccinated or not. But that's the standard right now, and that's what folks are moving forward with. But the thing is, we're going to have kids back in schools.
And that's kind of trumps everything, doesn't it?
So when you ask me what I'm excited about, I am super excited to see that.
School buses dropping kids off at school.
Yep, exactly. You know, following the protocol that we have, where it's a big step back to some sense of normalcy.
You know, you could have saved about 5 minutes. You just said school buses dropping kids off at school again.
I could have saved 5 minutes.
Yeah.
For just having them do that.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I'll just share real
quick,
too.
What about the staff? Are they excited? Or because last time we talked in springtime, there was hesitation from a number of the adults at the party and whether or not they wanted to be there or the Zoom and hesitations and concerns. I mean, is that still at play?
I can only speak to the staff that I've interacted with, and they're excited to get the students back into that environment and to be able to provide that direct instruction again and to be able to focus on we're going to provide instruction to these students in my classroom and not have to do a distance learning on top of that and this on top of that and trying to get focused back into the more traditional streamlined approach of serving the students that are right in front of you. You know, with that said, though, I think everybody's a little bit curious as to how the COVID rates are going to continue to evolve here locally. You know, they're not subsiding, and
that's
got everybody scratching their head a little bit about. I would, you know, we can't say that people aren't concerned about that. I mean, that's obvious, right? We are as a community.
I've seen some stuff that shows that while the positive rates are up, that the fatals are continuing to glide down. So now it's what number do you focus on? Where before there was kind of a ratio that was there.
Yeah.
Now it's different. And some folks having it for the second go around or the first, you know, all that stuff, you know. Unfortunately, we are both at the end of the tail.
That's right.
On this one.
Yeah.
You know, instead of really knowing what's going on or being able to have some choices. So you just kind of lower your head and say, okay, right now, school is supposed to be normal, and we're going to march that way with the mask and
that's right.
See where we go.
Keep the safety protocols in place. And
well, you guys spent a ton of money, and so did the districts, putting in these various elements.
Well, yeah, and that's a lot of the purpose of the funding that's there, right? It's all about health and safety standards. Like, I can just speak to Glenn Paul, that the program HCOE runs out there in Cutton. You know, we've been able to invest in HVAC systems that are going to do a better job drawing in and filtering air. You know, utilizing the MERV 13 special filter, this, that, and the other. But those are things that we're using these one-time funds to make a substantial improvement in the facility.
Any reimbursements for those things? Or?
Well, yeah, that's coming from a lot of the funding that we're receiving from the federal government. Right?
So that's a backfill.
I can apply that to a construction enhancement that's really going to pay off for years. When COVID's gone, flu season, cold season, the whole nine
yards. Did they screw up then, huh? You can actually use this thing positive for long-term.
Your sarcasm is thick today.
Thank you.
I love it.
Well, I mean, rather than like FEMA, where you can't improve it, all you have to do is replace what it was. I mean, it makes a ton of sense to do it this way.
Yeah, let's replace the 1970s furnace with a 1970s furnace. Yeah. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Comparable efficiencies. We don't want an upgrade here.
No way, man. We're going state of the art.
Yeah. can I interest you in some analog?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Chris Hartley. So you said, Chris, in the last break that we've got Fortuna today, we've got others starting the 16th, the 23rd. Is anybody doing the old-fashioned after Labor Day?
I knew
Tuesday?
You were going to ask that question.
I mean, to me, it's like that. Everybody's still out vacationing or traveling.
Yeah.
We're at the lakes, we're doing this, we got the fairs, and and if attendance, you know, I guess things have changed an awful lot, but everything's driven by ADA, right? So you got to be there.
Is that an acronym that you just used?
This is not a handicap.
No, this is a historic moment.
Yeah, well,
you
I do
just
slip
used
into
an educational acronym.
Some jargon periodically, yeah.
I just want to point that out.
Okay. But, you guys get paid by
attendance.
The classroom appearance
attendance.
Rather than yes or no or just a flat for the year.
That's correct.
Which I find interesting because you build in snow days, right?
Most of the districts,
three or four.
If you're like Klamath Trinity up in the mountains, you're going to definitely want a couple snow days. Neyland is going to want a couple snow days, but not everybody needs
and everybody does it? Oh, I thought that was kind of baked into the equation.
You might have a built-in day or two for, like, severe weather, like non-snow or power outages.
Labeled however you want.
Yeah, but yeah.
So if you're planning, let's say, on 180 days and you schedule 183, okay, the kids get three personal days.
So,
wherever it is.
So your question is,
back to September. Why do we start so early and the kids are still getting out?
Yes.
So late. Is it all these – is another educational jargon term.
You're going to go for two?
Goofy.
Oh, no.
Scheduled like Thanksgiving week. You know, it's now a week.
It's not goofy at all.
Instead of Thanksgiving and the day after and Christmas and New Year's and President's Day. And you know, these things have all been morphed. Does it all get down to labor contracts?
No, not really. I mean, it's a calendar. So it's the school calendars have changed over time. So you and I are used to the post-Labor Day school starting. That's pretty traditional.
Yeah.
We do get asked this question from time to time. You're right. You get
180
days.
Not just
days,
annually here?
Not just annually here.
Okay,
every August, I know you're going to ask me this question. No, it's the law hasn't changed. The education code hasn't changed. It's 180 days that are required. There's a certain number of instructional minutes that are required. But what districts have done, not just here, but pretty much throughout the state, is they've incorporated a couple of more vacation periods in the course of the year. So you mentioned President's Day. Well, that's in February, and now that's pretty much President's Week. So most schools have that week off.
So Washington disappears and Lincoln disappears.
Exactly. So you've got the week off, so you got to make those days up somehow. And generally that means you're going to start the school year a little earlier. Fortuna High, for instance, though, they're a high school district, and they have made the decision to end their semesters prior to the holiday break, which is actually makes sense. So their first semester goes from the first day of school to right in December, right before we go on holiday break, and then the second semester starts after those 2 weeks. They start a new course period. Instead of having a course linger for 2 weeks with no instruction, come back, try to get caught up, and then have finals. So that was a decision they made for their instructional benefit of the kids. So
makes a ton of sense.
It does. It follows more of a college schedule model, right? Starting earlier, ending earlier.
Well, and that's one thing I think that has evolved over the years is there's a recognition that, okay, mom and dad may have a college kid, a high school kid, a junior high kid, and maybe an elementary school kid. Let's try to coordinate this stuff.
Wow.
Instead of kids. Yeah, I know. Instead of cattywampus all over the place, and now one of the kids is off, and you got to go and get this one, but the other one's in school, and now if you've got jobs, you're basically sunk, you know, or you're taking vacation days to get the kids where, you know, just that kind of stuff. So it's that part is kind of nice.
Yeah, and you know that's the thing. Our districts that are regionalized like that, so you know they do try to work together. That doesn't always happen that way, but they do try to align their schedules where they can for that very reason. So you might have in the Northern Humboldt area, high school student at Arcata High, a middle school student at a different district, and junior high, and maybe a younger one at a different elementary school district. Chances are that could happen. And you're like, are you having three schedules that you're trying to manage?
Interdistrict transfers also.
You can have that, right.
All kinds of stuff.
Those are the nuances that everybody, that folks juggle and goes into their decision making too on what schools they send their kids to.
Is it staff? Is it school board? Who makes that call?
Ultimately, I would say most districts consult the administration and staff work together on that. And then ultimately the school board approves it.
So it's a blessing rather than
depends how involved the board is on that, or if there's a controversial change, or somebody has an interest in
Arbor Day.
Different. Yeah, you know.
We should recognize Arbor Day.
Well, it would be if you were on a school board, maybe you would be advocating for the return to post-Labor Day.
Maybe I would be thrown off.
You could tell everybody they don't have that week in February.
Great. The board historian has now weighed in. Thank you very much. Next.
That's a democratic process.
Yeah, majority rule. Okay, next.
Yeah. But the bottom line is, you know, folks are gearing up. And, you know, one of the things I'd like to put out there for folks, if there's anybody interested in education as a career, we have a few openings out there. You know, so staffing is always the top of our list of making sure we've got people there to serve kids.
Yeah, that's a 180-degree switch.
Well, I'm just trying to kind of
you say it with a
up.
Smile, though,
well,
too.
Yeah, you know, there's a great opportunity for folks if you want to be involved in a school here locally as a profession. You know, there are some openings. I say that as it's an opportunity, but it's also a bit of a challenge when I think about schools getting ready for the year, making sure they've got all the staffing in place ready to go. And we're seeing a little bit more of a turnover. And I know at the county office, we do a lot of the advertising for districts, so I keep a pretty good pulse of what's available and a lot of jobs.
Turnover or aging out?
I would say, as far as like retirements go, I don't know that we have more retirements happening right now. I do think we are seeing people retire a bit earlier than they planned because of the work around COVID and the basic stress of the job, but I think we have been able to add positions, too, because of the funding. So we've been under-positioned in a lot of our schools, and because we do have some revenue, we're able to add those positions back, which creates more jobs that way.
Now, don't you need to have a teaching degree and credentials and da-da-da-da-da-da-da?
If you're going into the classroom as a teacher, but we have a lot of what we call paraprofessionals, aides, support staff. I know transportation, finding bus drivers is a big area that we
That's almost a historical rite of passage, isn't it, for a new superintendent?
To have to drive the bus?
Yeah, or find bus drivers.
Oh, to find? We're all looking for
it's always seems to be, whatever it is about bus driving, maybe it's because it's a couple hours early and a couple hours late and really long lunchtime.
Always a demand.
Yeah, that it's just.
Yeah, for sure.
It just seems to be that way.
So it always works out. We're working hard on it, and but we're looking forward to that start.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey, folks, flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Chris, the challenge or the concepts, if you will, that the kids are trying to master, has that changed? I would suspect it has, just with some of the class offerings that are available now, as well as the methodology of how the classes are delivered.
Well, so as far as like curriculum, like what's being taught and what's being, you know, that is modified along with different state requirements that come on the curriculum, or what are the assessments that are being utilized to, you know, gauge the level of student achievement and learning over time, you know, the curriculum to match that. There's been a shift to looking at, you know, embedding more critical learning, you know, into the instructional models that we have in place right now, which is great. You know, problem solving for students, less read the textbook, answer these four questions after the chapter versus let's go through this material and put, you know, talk about an issue that's related to it and perhaps create a project around that. So those have been some of the most significant shifts. But I think what's going to be interesting now as we go into kind of this situation where we've been working through COVID for quite a long time with all the technology and the use of Zoom classrooms is how will technology be integrated, or I mean it's not even integrated, right? They've been doing Zoom for a year.
How is technology
going to continue to influence the classroom? Can the access to content through an online platform add course selections? Can that offer more course options for students instead of we only offer courses that are taught in person?
I think, you know, lab science, perhaps, not the sciences, but the lab, offsite learning, whatever you want to call it.
Colleges have been doing this for a long time. So teaching online classes is not a new thing, but is that going to perhaps be an option that our districts will be able to capitalize on more, particularly at the high school level?
Considering some of the issues with the social interaction or lack thereof, you know, the face-to-face?
Well, I think that's where you look at a blend, right? You have a blended model where maybe you have on-site classes for four periods, but then you take a couple classes that are online. Or you take a full chunk of classes at school during the day, and you say, well, I still would like to learn about this other topic, and I can take an online course.
Yeah, an adjunct.
That's right.
Or dog.
You know, one of the problems in high schools particularly is in order to meet the California State University requirements or the University of California, a typical school day is just packed with academics. So they haven't had a lot of opportunity to take the old elective courses that we all love, like auto shop or wood shop, all those great trade programs. And so they get, in order to meet all those requirements, you kind of lose the opportunity to do some of those. So maybe you could take, you know, an academic course online and free it up for that auto shop class. I get excited about those possibilities.
I noticed you didn't say Shakespeare or Greek mythology. That's where I spent.
That's where you were. That would be your elective.
Those were my elective. Well, I think they may have qualified also, but
those are great options. Creative writing and mythology.
Well, those things can be taught, I would suspect, either online or Zoom, or you don't have to be in a classroom if you can tap into that, because there's not a heck of a lot of social interaction.
Religious studies is a great course.
That would be a fun one,
you know, too. And so, sure, psychology, sociology, those are great courses that typically aren't a part of the core curriculum. But I know, you know, students would be excited to sign up for those classes.
Electives, I suppose, are evolving also and have different definitions as well.
Absolutely.
You know, so as you're looking at some of that stuff, how do you integrate it? Or is that, you say, well, school board, you guys make your own decisions on these things. Thank you very much, and we'll support you, whatever your decision is.
No, I think that'll evolve with each district and the staff and their leadership trying to figure it out. To what degree do they want to use it? To what degree are the students interested in pursuing some of those things? And then how do you come together to agree on a schedule that makes it available? And who's going to teach the courses? You know, that's another part of the staffing. So if you have staff that are already pretty much locked in full-time, teaching their daily instruction, how are you going to free people up to add a Zoom class?
Could you have an augmented faculty?
You could supplement. You could augment. You could have folks move from one form to the other.
I would think, say a mythology class. I know Mrs. Joe isn't around anymore. But to be able to have somebody who just had that passion. I mean, if it was legit, and I know that it's not, so guys, back off. Baseball card class. Oh, man, yeah, that would be such a kick in the pants.
Well, sports history. But, I mean, let's call it something like that. Absolutely.
Okay, but, you know, and that's probably not going to be recognized by any college.
No, probably not.
No. Boy, that was a quick response, wasn't it? But it might be kind of a kick in the pants for some of the kids to just kind of have a better sense about some of the different things that are going on, particularly in light of what the NCAA is now involved.
It's all possible. It's just how creative you get and how can you, again, come to an agreement on a schedule that allows that flexibility. It's 100% possible.
Pre-recorded modules.
Well, that sounds engaging.
Fine. We will engage when the mics are done. Yes. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure being here. Thanks for everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I actually mean that.
Oh, okay,
on this
cool.
Beautiful Monday morning.
Cool. I guess it's going to be a good week for him. See everybody tomorrow.
Oh, that's good. Hey, I like these afternoons.